say he's got a walkie-talkie on his back. You see that? And a police badge. And there's handcuffs. Wow. Who needs security team, right? We got Tay. I'm glad you're with us this morning. Watching a little bit of I didn't watch much of it. I flipped through a little bit of it because I went to bed a little early last night, actually. But was a little bit of Star Wars. I know I love Star Wars. And I know if you don't love Star Wars, it's because you don't get it. And that's fine. Not everybody as smart as me. I understand that. But I do like Star Wars. And, you know, they always have what they call the dark side, right? Darth Vader and the dark side. And they got the Jedis, which are the good people. And they always say, may the Force be with you. Well, the one last night was Revenge of the Sith, which is where Anakin Skywalker is there. And he's training to be a Jedi, but, you know, if you know anything about the series, he goes on to become actually Darth Vader. So he jumps fence and goes to the dark side. And I was sitting there thinking about that. I already had my message prepared by then, but I was thinking about how that so is something we can tie into, to relate to, how that there always is a power of darkness and there's a power of light. There's always, and both powers are powerful. So let's not discount, because we're Holy Ghost Christians in here, let's not discount the fact that there is a real power of darkness moving and working in the lives of people. And that it's just a nothing deal. Well, I'm Holy Ghost, child of God, so I don't know. There's a real power of Satan working. There's a real power of darkness that tries to take over people's lives, that makes them do things they wouldn't normally do. It's like me and Melanie brought this up yesterday. She said, you know, it's really not anyone's natural DNA, not naturally, our human nature, to intentionally go kill someone. That's just not in our nature. Now, maybe self-defense, of course you would, you know, or in a moment of, if it's your life being, you know, about to be killed, but just to go out and murder somebody, that's not really that person. That's something living in that person that's stronger, a dark side, a power, a spiritual power that's causing them to behave that way. Well, we see our world, and we see what's happening with our world, and we're seeing all the changes, and we're seeing all the cultural changes, and all the shifting, and all the generational changes, and, you know, no older than I am, I'm in a complete different world than I even was in when I was in elementary school or high school. And I can only imagine my grandparents' generation, my parents' generation are probably like, oh, my gosh, what has happened? But I've seen the big shift, you know. If you're 16 or 17 years old, you've even seen a shift since you were a little child. I've even seen a shift since you were a little child, how the culture has changed. And so what's happening is the devil is really working hard to try to deceive, to try to influence, to try to discourage, to try to overtake, to try to pull you into that destruction. But there's a power that is greater than Satan's. There's a power that's greater than darkness. And by the way, in Star Wars, guess who always wins? The Jedis always win. And the good side always wins. And the side of right always wins. The side of light always ends. You know, John tells us in John 1 that darkness, you know, came, the light cannot comprehend the darkness, or the darkness cannot comprehend the light, which means overtake. The darkness cannot overtake the light. The light was stronger, and the light was greater, and the light was brighter. And there is a power living within us through the Holy Ghost that if we will walk in it, really walk in it, and listen to that, and let Him lead our lives, we will find out we got a lot more strength than we realize. Let's start in Mark chapter 2, verse 10. And this is actually Jesus speaking. It says that you may know that the Son of Man hath power on earth to forgive sins. Think about that statement. He has the power to forgive sins. Is there any greater thing than that? Absolutely not. Nothing greater than that. That's the statement of statements. If He can forgive sins, what else could possibly top that? Nothing. He was talking about healing the palsy, the guy with palsy, and they questioned, why don't you just heal him? Why'd you say that? And he goes on to say, well, is it easier for me to say, rise up and walk, or your sins are forgiven? The point I want to make is on this point is this, that Jesus had the power on earth to forgive sins. He had the power, the authority, the ability to remove our sins from our lives, our sins from our future, to wipe away the slate, to redeem us and to restore us, to fix the brokenness. And that's what's happening. We're a broken generation. We're a broken people. Even Christians are broken. They're struggling. They're going through so much things in their home, in their lives, with their kids. Just because you saved and go to church and do all the right things don't mean you ain't going to have no rebellious youngin'. Can I get amen? You know, just because you Christian and living right and doing all that don't mean you ain't going to have a fight with your wife or have marital problems. Just because you're a Holy Ghost Christian full of faith and full of the anointing and full of the power of God don't mean you ain't going to get sick. We have these things attack us. And I get frustrated. I hear Christians always whining and bellyaching about what's happened to me. My Lord, you're in the human race. It's part of life. The difference is, let's not bellyache and whine. Let's remember who we serve. I serve a King who is, who was, and who always will be. And I will not let my storm discourage me, but I will overcome that with my testimony, as we talked about last week. I will overcome that with who I know that He is. And though I face adversity, I will not be destroyed. And though I may walk in some darkness, it will not take me out. And though I may be sick, I will not die from that, because I have been set free already, and my chains are gone, and my sins have been forgiven, and I know who I serve, and that's the power I'm going to rely on, the power of God. Yeah, we go through things. You know, being a Christian doesn't in a magic pill we take and everything's just always perfect. Man, we struggle. All of us struggle. And if we're honest with ourselves, we realize that that struggle is part of our journey. That struggle is part of our walk. That struggle is part of our destiny. We don't need to be perfect to serve God, or think we ought to be perfect to serve God, or perfect to be loved by God. Have your children ever made any mistakes growing up? Does Bryce and Kyle ever be a smart mouth or roll their eyes or get attitude? Yeah. You still love them though, right? And you'd fight and die for them, wouldn't you? Doesn't mean our kids got to be perfect to love them. Guess what? We don't have to be perfect God to love us. We think that. How could God love me? Look how ugly I am. Look what I've done. Look where I've been. Look what I'm doing now. Patrick, what I did last night. look at all the knowledge that I know, and yet I'm still failing, and I'm still falling, and I'm still weak, and I'm still, you know, all the stain is still on me. How could God possibly love me through that? Because He's God, and God is love. And that was the whole purpose of Him coming to die for our sins and raise a third day for our righteousness. The whole purpose was to make us clean again. He had that power to do that, to forgive our sins. When we realize, I think the biggest key to walking in true power is to realize we're forgiven, that we're really forgiven. Because as long as we don't know we're forgiven, we've always got that stigma of condemnation and judgment following us around, eating at us and tormenting our minds, reminding us of where we've been and what we've done and who we are, instead of reminding the devil, yes, I was, but now I'm not. Yes, I was blind, but now I see. Yes, I was lost, but now I'm found. Yes, I was a sinner, but now I'm the righteous of Christ through Him. I am now those things. I am now an ambassador of Christ. I am now redeemed. I've now been reconciled back unto God. I now bear His name. I've been adopted. The Bible says we've been adopted, man. Adopted into the family of God. When you're adopted, you know what that means? You got all the rights of a regular youngin. If any of y'all want to adopt me and you got any money, I'm game. Make sure you got money, though, before you sign me up. I want some rich parents. Sign me up. That means I get all the benefits. I still love y'all more. I'm just saying. Just a backup plan in case something goes wrong, you know what I'm saying? In case Dad goes to casinos and blows all my inheritance. I just want a backup plan. Adopt him, man. That means I get all the rights of an heir. The Bible says I'm an heir of God. We know what heirs are, man. I say this all the time, and I'm really joking. But, I mean, don't you wish you had that uncle that you never knew you had? That you got a phone call from an attorney? Hey, are you Don Childers? Yes, I am. Did you know Jim Smith that lived in Cleveland, Ohio? No, sir. Well, he's your uncle, and you're the next living relative, and he left you $3 million. Here's what Don would do. Uncle who, Jim? Yeah, Uncle Jim. Woo! Hallelujah! Praise Jesus. You don't know him, but yet you got the benefit, man. You received all of it. You see it on TV movies, right? They get the phone call, and you're like, oh my gosh, they didn't even know him. They're a millionaire. How's that happen? But that's what God did. He took us who were nothing, who had nothing. And He says, I'm going to make you part of my family. Now, God's families, as the young folks used to say, I'm telling my age right here, God's pretty dope, right? I mean, man, He's got it all. He owns it all. He created it all. He's got everything. He's got the joy you need. He's got the peace you need. He's got the healing you need from your pain, from your past, from whatever you're struggling with, from your addiction, whatever it is. God's got what you need. He's got the power to set you free. That's what he has offered for us. He's got the power to forgive sins. Go to the next verse, actually. Romans 1:16. This is Paul speaking, and I've read this verse I don't know how many times through my life. But one thing caught me for the first time ever, really, and I'll explain that. For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. That part there got me yesterday, the gospel of Christ. We always read over that, just get to the good part. Power of God to salvation. But let's look at the first part. Paul says, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. Not the gospel of man, not the gospel of denomination, not the gospel of out there. The gospel of Christ. That's got to be our focus. Too many times we have let people, I was talking to someone this morning, this not anybody in church, I was somewhere else this morning before church, I was talking to this person, and they said that they're not really a believer and they're not really a religious person, so they went to Easter service one time and the preacher made a comment, says, if you only come on Easter, you're a sinner. Now, I mean, folks, how foolish have we gotten? How stupid have we gotten that we utter something so unbiblical to a congregation? Church, I don't care if y'all just come on Easter. That is wonderful. We got room for you. Only thing I'm going to say, if you just come on Easter, bring a checkbook. That's all I'm going to say. I was playing. We love you. You're not going to hear me say, well, you're a sinner. You're only here on Easter. I mean, who did you say that? Who are we to say who is a sinner? We don't know where their faith lies. Because they're not in church doesn't mean they're a sinner. But we have said things like that instead of pointing them to the gospel of Christ. You know what the gospel of Christ was, man? Paul didn't preach all this deep, end time, really, revelational, what we would call apostolic, deep doctrine. Not really. Paul preached Jesus Christ, crucified, and risen. Now, we did go on a course talk about the gifts of the Spirit and all that, but I'm talking about his main message was talking about Jesus. This one that you crucified, he's the Lord. That you're saved by him. That grace comes by him, not by works, lest any man boast. That we're reconciled through him. That our redemption is in him. He always pointed to the gospel of Christ. He never got on his own bandwagon. It wasn't ever a Paul thing. It was a Jesus thing. And when people are pointed to Jesus and they see the picture of Jesus, you know what happens? We get, you know what the word photobomb means, right? Somebody's taking a picture, you know, Linda and Bruce got it, you know, somebody's taking a picture of them, and I jump in the back like that. And they got that the rest of their lives, right? This stupid guy in the back of their picture doing that. Photobomb, messed up their moment of romance, destroyed it. This is something we do with the gospel. The gospel is so beautiful and so pure, and then we do this. And that's all they see. They don't see Jesus no more. They just see the rules, the regulations, the condemnation, the judgment. They don't see Jesus in all of his beauty and forgiveness and glory and grace and mercy and power and wisdom and understanding. They don't see Jesus. We cannot fail on this, church, to not let them see Jesus instead of seeing us. People say, well, preachers always fail. Yes, they fail. Preachers fail. Deacons fail. Ushers fail. Teachers fail. Prophets fail. Evangelists fail. They fail. But Jesus never fails. And if the message is pointing to him and the revelation is about him and people's hearts receive him, guess what? It ain't going to matter what James Lewis ever does. Because if you're facing James Lewis, you're a miserable human being, I can tell you that. But when you're facing Jesus Christ, no matter what happens to me, no matter how hard I would fall, you would say, he failed, and I love him, and I hate it, and I'll pray for him. But he is not my salvation. He is not my Savior. Jesus died. Jesus rose. Jesus redeemed. He's my Lord and God, and he is my Savior. That's where our faith has to be. That's the picture we paint. So we got to give some credence here to realize that people are going to fall. And if you're here today and you're like, you know, I know I need Jesus, but man, everybody I know serves Jesus, they got problems. Well, yeah, they do. We all got problems. Every one of us have issues. We have battles and we have storms. It's not that we're better than anybody else. The only thing different is that we know Jesus. And he is our Lord and Savior. And we know that our life is secure through him forevermore. Our redemption has been made nigh right now. The Bible says we've been translated from the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of the dear Son right now. It's the only difference is I'm his. I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. It is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth. Everyone that believeth. This woman this morning I was talking to, she said, I'm not religious. I believe in science. I believe in like the Big Bang stuff. I said, well, I live in the Big Bang too. I told her, I said, I very much believe in the Big Bang. I believe God banged it. Might not have been turned very, you know, professional. I said, God just, that's what he did. I believe in that. God spoke it and bang! It happened. I mean, I think if you're here today and you ever question that, really think of the dynamics of humanity, of creation, of science, of weather patterns. I mean, it absolutely is amazing. That can't just happen accidentally. Something just didn't explode and then all of a sudden there's a perfect order of things. I mean, that'd be like me, you know, getting a bunch of Legos, a bucket of Legos, dumping on the floor, or, you know, saying, bang! Fall on the floor, and guess what? They form a Disney castle. Wow! A perfect Disney castle. If I throw Legos on the floor, what's going to happen? A big pile of mess. That's all it's going to be. Nothing's going to come from me throwing Legos on the floor. Oh, bang! This Lego goes here. Starts snapping, you know, like Transformer. Transformers, more than meets the eye. And all of a sudden, it just starts transforming into something. Are you serious? Somehow have we gotten that way? I mean, my God, open your eyes. There's a God behind all of this. There's a God behind the sun, the moon, the stars. There's a God behind every animal. Look how animals are so uniquely different. Think about how many different species of animals they are. How could they just evolve? How can a raccoon, man, look like a bandit? It's amazing. How can a camel, you know, an animal have two big humps on its back and not be on disability? I mean, that's how it's supposed to be made. It's supposed to have humps. I mean, it's incredible, the creation. A turtle with a shell and, I mean, just everything's so uniquely different. My God, this is the God that I serve. And if he had power to create all of this, he's got power to help me. He's got power to take my pain away, my scars away. Because sometimes, man, we get in such a depth of darkness that all we see is the pain, the sin, the rebellion. All we see is past visions of what we have done, the people we have hurt, instead of seeing the picture God's painting now. This is not your life anymore. This can now be your life. It can now become a wonderful life, as the movie says. It can go from being what you were to being what I've called you to be. And I believe what Melanie said, we believe this, but I don't think we really believe this. There is nothing humanity can do against God that when they call out upon Jesus, that God cannot forgive. We put people in that box because of what they've done. There are people that we don't know what their lives are when they're in prison, and they may spend the rest of their lives in prison. And we say, well, they were in prison all their lives, and they didn't know Jesus. You didn't know what they didn't know. You don't know what they know. They're sitting in a cell, them and God. Man, for the grace of God, we'd be there. Just by the grace of God, man, we could have been there and been down that road. When I see the homeless on the streets, I think by the grace of God, that could be me on the streets. It wouldn't take many steps, church, for any of us to be homeless. It wouldn't take many steps. Do you realize that? It would just take a few steps in life for us to be on the street. Miss a few house payments. Lose your home. Lose your job. Have no money. Then you start stealing to get money. Then you're locked up in jail. Then you come out of jail, and guess what? You got no home. You got nowhere to go. Nobody wants you to live with them because you've been in jail. It wouldn't take long for you to be on the streets, any of us. But we look at people and put them in this box thinking, why don't they just change? Why don't they just be different? I realize we got to make good choices. We got to make good decisions. That is on us. But I realize that it's only by the grace and mercy of God that loved me that's kept me from being in places I see others in that I would never want to be in. Only by the grace of God. Only by the grace of God. We know we're in a very big drug world in this generation. Everybody's doing drugs. You know, you may not call it drugs, but it's still drugs, whatever you're doing. To me, anything gets you high is a drug. I don't care what you say. And so we got people doing this stuff. And you know what? I got offered pot when I was 13 years old at a bus stop by a kid who was smoking at 13 and offering me some pot at 13. This is back in, you know, back in the 80s. And you know what? I didn't do it. And I'm so thankful because this sounds so minute, but that one decision could have changed. Who knows? That one moment of saying, yeah, I'll try it, could have hooked me to a lifestyle of dependency and substance abuse. That one time. Only by the grace of God. I ain't bragging on me because, man, I'm telling you, I'm weak. I've told you before, man, if it hadn't been for God, I'd have been the party boy. Because I love to talk. I wasn't bashful to do nothing, man. I could get in the middle of a desk in school and dance for the whole classroom. I didn't care. I'd have danced in my gym clothes. Yeah, I wouldn't have mattered, man. But God kept me. Only the power of God kept me. And steered me away from those places and people that weren't good for my life. And God knew that. And I'm thankful that I had that power of God in my life. And this power of God produces a salvation to everyone that believeth. First to the Jew and then to the Greek. And he's talking about, of course, the chosen people of God, the Jews, and then everybody else. Everybody else was Greeks, pretty much. The Jews and everybody else. So everyone that believeth. God gave power to salvation. Look at Romans 15, 13. I love this verse. The God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing. Here's the problem. We don't have a lot of joy and peace in our own belief system. Because God's been so mispainted. The portrait's been so distorted of who Jesus is. And so we don't have a lot of joy and peace in believing. We have fear in believing. Or we have unsettledness in believing. Or we're not really sure. Have we believed the right thing? Have we believed enough? Have we prayed enough? Have we confessed enough? Have we repented enough? I've made jokes before about how many times have you got resaved? You know, I got saved again. Oh, yeah, I got saved again. I got saved again. I mean, my Lord. We live a whole life of torment. We have no joy in our belief. We have no power in our belief system. Because we listen to other people tell us if we're saved or not, if we know Jesus or not. We let them put us in a box and define us because we don't look like the cookie cutter person they are. We can't be who we say we are because we don't match how they look. There are many places that you are defined by how you look, by what you wear, by the color of your hair, by the tattoos on your arms, by the piercings in your face. You're defined. And I'm thankful that God looks at the human person and looks beyond those things that we put boundaries on and says, all I see is a child of God that I love. I see a child of God who I want to pour my mercy and grace into, and I want them to see me as I am, a loving Father full of mercy and grace and truth. That's who God is. That's who he desires to be in our lives. We don't have the power. We don't have joy and peace in our believing. But God wants to fill us with that. That we may abound in hope. And the only way we can do that is through the power of the Holy Ghost. How do we get through this journey of life? We can't do it without the Holy Ghost. Too many distractions. Too many monsters trying to pull us off the trail. Too many demons out there trying to attack our lives. If we don't have the power of the Holy Ghost, we don't have a chance. We will be deceived. You know, the Bible says, be not tossed to and fro with every wind of doctrine. And every sleight of man. Don't be tossed to and fro like the ocean. Don't be just battered all around. And we're seeing a lot of that in this generation of confusion. People not knowing what to believe, who to believe, what's right, what's wrong, what's truth. And a big part of that is the social media that we live in today. That we can Google anything in the world. I mean, Google is a great tool, and it can be a terrible tool. Because you can Google yourself to death. Literally, to death. You ever Google bad headache? You've got stage 4 cancer, right? I say it all the time. Google it. You'll find it. Bad headache on left temple. It could be cancer. Everything could be cancer. I eat Fruity Pebbles and my jaw hurts. Could be mouth cancer. No, you bit into a hard Fruity Pebble. That's all that was. That's why it's sore. It's not cancer. But we Google this stuff. And all this stuff gets inside of us and it torments us. I did a message one time years ago called Google God. That's my message. Google God. If we Google God and we Google everything else, and man, we're spoiled. I know. I do it all the time. I'll get on my phone. Hey, Siri. Who won the game last night? No. They were defeated. You got that voice, you know. Hey, Google. What's the weather like in Orlando, Florida? The weather is 85 and sunny. Sir James. Thank you. We can Google anything. Let's Google God. Let's see what God has for us. Let's see what God wants to do for us. Let's hear from God and what he has waiting on us. 2 Corinthians 4:7 says this. We have this treasure in our earthen vessels that the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us. You know, we have to, I dare to say this because I don't want to confuse anyone. I've always felt this way. I know I've not ever battled substance abuse of any kind. So I'm talking from a different perspective than if you are battling it this morning. But something I've never liked about the AA meetings and stuff that you go to is how they're always reaffirming what they are. I am James Lewis, and I am an alcoholic. I am James Lewis, and I am a drug addict. I understand what they're saying. I understand the process of what they're trying. They're trying to keep people realizing that you are susceptible and that you got to always remember where you were so you don't go back. But at the same time, to me, it's always playing that seed of reminding you of what you are and not what God has made you to be. I am James Lewis. And my chains are broken. I am James Lewis, and I am no longer an alcoholic. I am James Lewis, and I have been set free by the power of God. It's always reaffirming that message. And so many times, that's why we hear the devil reaffirming what we are, what we've been, what we've done. That was all in mind. James Lewis, I know you're a preacher, but remember, you did this, and you did that, and you looked at that, and you thought that, and you said that, and you did this, and you did that. And sometimes that's all we hear. It's the only message we hear. And it troubles our spirit. And it blocks out the pathway of hearing God's voice. So we got to remind ourselves, here's what the Word of God says that I am. It says that I am more than a conqueror through Jesus Christ. The Bible says that I am the head and I'm no longer the tail. The Bible says that there will be power. I'll be endued with power from on high when that promise of the Holy Spirit comes. And now I have that power, and I walk in that power, and I demonstrate that power through the Holy Spirit. We've got to remind ourselves of what God's Word says that we are, because the world's going to always tell you what you're not. They're great about that because they're judging you by what they see instead of God seeing you as how God sees you. This power is of God, it's not of us. We've got to remember that. Verse 8. We are troubled on every side, but not distressed. We are perplexed, but we're not in despair. We are persecuted, but we are not forsaken. Isn't that beautiful? We're not forsaken. We're persecuted, but we're not left alone. People go attack us, but we're not left alone. God moves in our situations. I remember Don a few years ago shared a story with me. He came talking about something, and there was an obstacle in the way, and God removed that obstacle out of your way. He was persecuted, but he wasn't forsaken. God showed up and did something in that situation that only God could do. Let's remember that. We are cast down, but we're not destroyed. In other words, there's trials, church. There's tribulations. There's things we go through. I mean, my whole family, there's 5 of us in my family, and guess what? We all got our own battles, we got our own issues. They're all different. They're all different. Physical issues, emotional issues, spiritual issues, whatever they are, we've all got them. But we're not destroyed. The reason we're not, because we always bear about in the body the dying of the Lord Jesus. We always remember the death of our Savior and what that means to us. What that death represents. Man, that death of Jesus and that resurrection of Him gave us a power that never fails and never ends and never runs out. We've got that. That power is not just on Sunday morning when the organ's going, the drums are beating, the preacher's hollering. The power is for us to take out of this place and live every day in that victory. Every day. We rise out of bed, we're filled with His power. We go to work, we're filled with His power. We come home, we're filled with His power. We lay down, we're filled with His power. It's something that we live in and we operate in day by day, hour by hour. We live in that power of God. And some days are definitely day by day. And some days are hour by hour. Depends on how your day is going. Let that power of God, remember that dying of the Lord Jesus, that life of Jesus might be manifest. How can we demonstrate the power of God if we have forgotten what He did to give us that power? Oh, Lord, You died. Perfect Lamb of God. Sacrificed Your life for mine to give me this power. You died. The Bible says He died with my offenses and was raised with my justification. He died with paying for my penalties. All the junk, all the stuff. He died with that on Him, but He rose with my redemption. When He came out of the tomb that third day, He didn't just come out with garments. He didn't just come out really the way He went in. He came out with my redemption. It was finished. It was a done deal. If He'd have stayed dead, I'd still be in my sins. But He didn't stay dead. He raised the third day. And when He walked out of that tomb, our future was changed forever. Our destiny was changed forever because of what He did. So we remember that. We remember what He did for us. We remember that death. And as we remember the death of Jesus, guess what? It gives us that life to live out, to walk out, to serve out. It empowers us to realize, Lord, here's what You did for me, so I'm going to live it. I'm going to serve You. I'm going to follow it. I'm going to be bold in what I declare because this is what You did for me. He went from a manger to a cross to a tomb to ascension for me. That's why He came. Next scripture. For which cause we faint not. Don't faint. Don't give up. Don't give in. I know the struggle is real. I get it. My struggle is real. Melanie's struggle is real. Everybody's struggle is real. But let's not faint. Let's not give in. Though our outward man perish, our inward man is renewed day by day. We gain strength spiritually on the inside. Though we may age on the outside, and though our body may grow tired, and our bones grow weak, and our outward man grow weary just from life, the inward man can continue to be raised up stronger and stronger and stronger. See, our walk with God, we ought to be gaining momentum, not going backwards. We ought to be moving forward. The more we're in church, the more we hear God's word, the longer we're saved, the more years we serve God, we ought to be gaining strength. I mean, if you're going to the gym every day and you've not lost 1 pound in a year, something's wrong. If you go to the gym every day for a year and you've not lost 1 pound, you're doing something really, really wrong. If you're lifting weights for a year and not seeing any of your little veins, your biceps pop out, or you don't flex like this in the Rockies, just look at that. Woo, baby. You're doing something wrong. You ought to be changing. Something ought to be happening with your physical body. There ought to be a metamorphosis, so to speak. Don't we love the before pictures after? Here I was before I went to the gym. Here I am after. We love those. If you see it before, if you can't tell the after picture any different than the before picture, you messed up somewhere. Too much Pablo's, too much Krispy Kreme, I don't know, something happened. Because there ought to be a distinctive before and after if you're doing something about it. Here's us before Christ. The Grinch, right? Mr. Grinch. Then after Christ. Hallelujah, 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 rays beaming out of us. Because there's been a change. There have been a metamorphosis. We ought to be stronger. Man, there are some Christians I know have been saved 50 years and they still don't believe God can take care of a headache. They get discouraged because the water pump broke. Had 500,000 miles on it, man. What'd you expect? It's not an eternal water pump. It's going to break down. Have faith and say, you know what? It's okay. God's going to take care of me and provide my needs, because the Bible says that he meets our needs according to what? His riches. Ooh, not my riches. God supplies my needs according to his riches in glory. And his riches can take care of my water pump. Our inward man is renewed day by day. Next verse. For our light affliction is but for a moment, and it worketh for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. What's going to be revealed in us in the end far outweighs what we're battling right now. There is power to walk in victory through your storm. Power. There's power to walk in victory right now, no matter what you're battling. I don't care how big Goliath is. There is victory available to put him on his hind end now. There's victory. There's victory to overcome all the lies of the devil. There's victory to overcome all the fear that you're battling today. There's victory to overcome all that shame and guilt that you carry around like a big yoke on your neck. And that's all that you see, and that's all that you hear is all of that shame and regret of the past and all of the years wasted. God can restore those years. And God can change that in a second and give you a future you never thought you would have when you let him have control of your life. Yes, we have afflictions. Yes, we have trials. When Paul wrote his last letter, he was in prison. In 2 Timothy, he was in prison. And he was still writing the word of God. And one of the last things he said in chapter 4 of 2 Timothy, he said, my departure is at hand. I fought a good fight and I've kept the faith. Now there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, and not only to me, but to all those who love his appearing. Paul saw the big picture. We just see the small picture sometimes. We see just what's right in front of us, not realizing that just beyond that, just like the clouds that cover the sun. You ever, like, if you go up to the mountain sometime, you know, as you climb a mountain, it starts, maybe it gets, you know, it's cloudy when you're down low, and you start climbing that mountain, and all of a sudden there's the sun. You get 2,000, 3,000 feet elevated, boom, the sun pops out. The sun was always there, but we couldn't see it because all we could see was the clouds. So many times, that's all we see is the clouds. You know, we think there's a rain cloud falling around everywhere we go. You know, this storm cloud, lightning bolts and rain, everywhere we go, we're under this cloud, because that's what the devil wants us to see. But there's power for that cloud, whew, to be blown off our lives. Power for that to relieve our lives. There's power right now available for us. No matter what we're battling, no matter how bad it seems, there's power for us to have joy and peace in the midst of uncertainties. And that's what's beautiful. How can I have joy when there's nothing to be happy about? Because I said many times, our joy cannot be attached to our circumstances. That's not real joy. Our joy's got to be attached to God, not our circumstances. Because our circumstances change day by day, month by month, year by year. It can change. So if you're attaching your joy to how you feel physically, or what kind of car, if it's broken down, or if you got one, or if you've got a house or not a house, or if your bills are behind, or you're caught up, or if your bank account's empty, or if it's full. If you're basing all your joy on those things, you'll never walk in steadfastness of true joy. But when your joy's in God, I've got the power to rejoice no matter what I see. I got the power to say God is good all the time, and all the time God is good. I can say that all the time. I got the power to say that because of his strength in my life. Because I'm not looking at my storm. I'm looking at the one that said, storm, shut up and be still. See, I'm not looking at the prison that I'm in like Joseph, but I'm looking at the one that said, come out of that prison, for I've got a promotion waiting on you and a destiny for the future. I'm not looking at the lion's den that looks unsurmountable and surrounds me, but I'm looking at the one that told the lions, keep your mouths closed all night long and don't touch my prophet Daniel. I'm looking at the one that took 2 fish and 5 loaves of bread and multiplied it. That was barely a little boy's lunch. But yet he fed over 5,000 people. It kept multiplying one after the other. I wasn't looking at the size of the lunch. I was looking at the magnitude of my God. When we start looking at who God is and what God does and the vastness of who he is, then our circumstances will just shrink before him. We'll say, my God, I let this chain me how many years? Wow, God, you're God. I mean, you are God. You've got the power to write any check in my life. I'm talking about spiritually. Any check in my life, you've got the power to write whatever it is to pay off what I'm going through right now and to cancel that debt out, whether it's shame, fear, guilt, weakness, rebellion, whatever it is. God, you've got the power to cancel it out anytime because you're God. That's my last verse, right, Ashley? Oh, I got another one. Oh, yeah, go back. While we look not at the things which are seen, while we look not at the things which we're seeing, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal. We have to have a bigger picture and realize our chains right now doesn't define us forever. And because you're chained up today and because there's no power maybe in your life today or you feel weak or you feel hopeless, doesn't mean this is the picture you'll always want to walk in. Start looking at things supernaturally and spiritually and realize these chains and these things in my lives, they can fall off. There's power to set me free. There's power. There is power to free my mind. There's power to make me whole again. Man, some of us haven't been whole in so long, we don't know what it's like. We're like a jigsaw puzzle. It's half missing. I mean, there's just pieces of our lives that we don't even know where they go anymore. We've lost our identity. We've lost who we were, who we are, who we're supposed to be. We've lost that because of brokenness in our lives, because of pain, because of regrets, because of shame, because of junk. But there's power today, church. There's power available to set you free, and there's power that you can walk in that you will hear God's voice instead of Satan's voice. Satan's always a liar. He's always going to be a liar. He's never going to tell you anything that's positive in your life. But God's word does. God's word reminds us of who we are in him. I am a child of the king. And the king is here. And the king's not going nowhere. The king is here to remain. And I am so thankful for that. We bow your heads just for a minute this morning. God, we are thankful that your hand of mercy reaches out into our lives. Whatever we're going through today, there is nothing too big for your hand to touch. There is no sickness or disease we're battling that's too hard for you to heal. There is no pain, God, that is so bad that you can't remove with your peace and your glory and your power. For those that are weak in here today that are struggling, God, I pray that you fill them with strength. Strength from on high, not strength from themselves, but strength from on high, that you pour onto their lives a new oil, God, that will run from the top of their head to the soles of their feet, covering them with your glory, that the shackles will fall off, the pain will be removed, all the junk that they're battling, that the doors will be open, God, for their lives right now, that you'll begin to open new doors, new avenues that have been closed before, but God, you're opening them now. I pray for the blinded eyes to see your truth today, for the deaf ear to hear what you are saying, to open themselves up, maybe not understanding all things, but at least knowing, God, you're talking to them. Let them hear your voice today. Remind them, God, that you are going to take care of them and that you have a plan for their lives, a plan to stay faithful, to stay on the course, to wait for that plan to be realized. We give you praise. We give you honor. We give you thanks, God, for who you are. And I pray for peace, joy, and strength to fill this place today, to know there is power, power in the blood of the Lamb, power, power, power to change our lives. And we thank you and we give you all honor in Jesus' name. Amen. Chuck, come on back up here, if you would, you and Jewel, and won't you play something? If you want to just talk to God this morning while they're singing a song, I just want you to come talk to him. can come to the altar. You can stay in your seat, whatever you want to do. But just the altar is open if you want that. But I want you to just talk to God as I sing this song. And if you are ready for the power of God to come into your life and change some things, come talk to him and say, Lord, I'm ready. I want that power. God, I need that power in my life. I need that strength. I need you, Lord. I'm tired of being weak and I'm tired of being hopeless. I need you, Lord. So just sing a song, pray or come to the altar, and whatever God's leading you to do.
The moon and stars, they wept. The morning sun was dead. The Savior of the world was fallen. His body on the cross, his blood poured out for us. The Savior of the world, upon him. Ooh. One final breath he gave as heaven looked away. The Son of God was laid in darkness. A battle in the grave, the war on death was raged. The power of hell forever the broken. The ground began to shake. The stone was rolled away. His perfect love could not be overcome. Now death, where is your sting? A resurrected rendered you defeated. Forever he is glorified. Forever he is lifted high. Forever he is risen. Stone was rolled away. His perfect love could not be overcome. Now death, where is your sting? Our resurrected King has rendered you defeated.
Y'all stand on your feet, sing this part with us. Just worship him right now. Just worship the Lord.
We sing hallelujah.
Yes, Lord.
We sing hallelujah. We sing hallelujah. The Lamb has overcome. We sing hallelujah. We sing hallelujah.
Yes, Lord.
We sing hallelujah. The Lamb has overcome. We sing hallelujah. We sing hallelujah. We sing hallelujah. The Lamb has overcome.
Lord, I just pray right now for this body of people that your power overshadows us. That your glory, God, breaks behind the veil that we have put up. The veil of fear, the veil of rebellion, the veil of uncertainty, the veil of anger, the veil of jealousy, the veil of strife, the veil of unbelief. God, you're able to break that veil this morning. And I pray your power from on high will pour into our lives and tear the curtain from the top to the bottom and fill our hearts with overcoming joy and peace and strength and anointing and healing and deliverance and breakthrough. That every chain will fall from our hands, from our feet, from our eyes, and from our ears. Lord, let us hear, let us see, let us feel, let us understand, let us think, let us walk in all that you have prepared for us. In the name of Jesus, let your power fall in this place. Let your power fall in this place right now in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah! Hallelujah! Glory! Hallelujah! Hallelujah! Hallelujah, God! Hallelujah! Hallelujah! Let your power fall in this place. Glory! 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 Glory to God. Hallelujah. Jesus. Jesus. Do the ground begin to shake again.
The ground began to shake.
Yes.
The stone was rolled away.
Glory.
His perfect love could not be overcome. Now death, where is your sting?
Do y'all know what God has done for you, church?
A resurrected King has rendered you defeated
forever.
He is
glorified. Forever he's glorified, and so are we, church. Through his blood.
Forever he is lifted high. Forever he is risen. He is alive. He is alive.
Hallelujah. He's alive.
Sing with us. We sing hallelujah. We sing hallelujah. We sing hallelujah. The Lamb has overcome. We sing hallelujah. We sing hallelujah. We sing hallelujah. The Lamb has overcome.
Father, we are thankful for your power in this place right now. For your anointing, God, that is breaking down some walls. Some walls that we have built for many, many years. Walls that we let nobody come past. Walls to protect ourselves. Walls to protect us from you, God. And we are realizing that's the very problem. Is the wall we have put up to protect us from you is the very wall that's keeping us from you. And that's what you want, is us. Let the walls, just like Jericho, as they marched around and shouted the victory. God, we shout the victory today that the wall will fall in the name of Jesus. That the wall that we have surrounded ourselves will fall in this place. And we will walk into a new season and a new place through your power and through your grace. in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Man, I ain't got that excited in a long time, church. Didn't mean to be one of them screaming preachers, man, but I'm telling you, man, there was something here. If y'all didn't feel it, that's your thing. I could contain myself. That was incredible. Father, we're grateful once again for what you've done here today. We give you all praise and all glory. And we love you, Lord. And we worship you as our King. In Jesus' name, amen. If you're able to, you can sit down. If you want to stand, that's